And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Streaming live a little early on this Friday morning as the Wilmington Power Breakfast is set to take place today. For those that have been with me for some time, going back to the radio days here in Wilmington, you'll be familiar with the Power Breakfast. We did our remote broadcast there once a quarter for those events. And the title and topic of today's event is Wilmington's Future, as the discussion and debate will be taking place, including three candidates for mayor, two Democrats, Jonathan Barfield, a former county commissioner, and current mayor Bill Saffo. Billy Craig running for mayor. I will note I got a lot of messages. Billy and I are not related. It's just happenstance that he happens to have the last name. Wilmington native Billy Craig running for mayor. And then, of course, a plethora of city council candidates in that race as well. The three Republican candidates, current Wilmington councilman Luke Waddell, Richard Colliel, Sean Guerrero running, and some Democrats in that mix as well. So that is taking place this morning. I'll be heading to that to cover it, and we'll have that coverage coming up for you. My plan is Monday. Obviously, this has been a very dynamic news week, so it is, I don't want to say for sure that we're going to cover the Power Breakfast on Monday. I will note that is my intention right now. Things can change. A manhunt does continue in Utah for, of course, the assassin on that murdered Charlie Kirk in cold blood on Wednesday. So sometime early next week, we'll get into that. I also still have some news to get to as it relates to the homeless issue in Wilmington, kind of getting a little backlog on the news here this week. A major press conference taking place at the General Assembly yesterday as well, as lawmakers try and figure out how to deal with the situation that happened in Charlotte back on August the 22nd, the brutal and horrific murder of Irina Zaruska, a 23-year-old Ukrainian immigrant, minding her own business, heading home from her job when she was stabbed in the neck by a 14-time convicted criminal in DeCarlos Brown Jr. Lawmakers in Raleigh, Republicans saying enough is enough of that. I've got all of that in the backlog. So we'll do our best to get to all of that in the early part of next and throughout the part of next week. So bear with me if I'm not covering things as quickly as you would hope. I want to let you know it's all on my mind. It's all topics, just trying to manage and juggle all of that. We will turn our attention to Utah this morning as we come on the air for a quick show this Friday morning. Late last night, around almost 10 o'clock Eastern time, officials in Utah did hold a press conference to provide an update on the ongoing situation as the manhunt does continue to try and find the individual that is responsible for killing Charlie Kirk earlier this week. The Utah governor, who has been very clear in hunting this individual down and putting every single resource at his disposal available, led the press conference yesterday. This is what he had to say. Here is the Utah governor.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here tonight. We appreciate the media and the partnership we have with you in helping us to get information out to the public so that we can catch this assassin and hold him accountable. We are going to share a portion of a video and that we have of the suspect, as well as some new stills. Those have already been released, but we want to make sure that they get as much attention as possible so that we can get help from the public in tracking down this evil human being. So we're going to queue up the video right now, show that. I've asked Commissioner Bo Mason if he would narrate to you what is happening in this video.
So for those listening, what you're about to see is a video of the suspect that they were able to gather, presumably surveillance footage and surveillance video from Utah Valley University, where, of course, this shooting did take place. Let's walk through it.
So here you see the suspect ran behind that upper building. He's come out on the right, moves to this far right corner. As he does, he's going to climb off the edge and then drop down to the ground. As he did that, he left some palm impressions. There's some smudges, some places we're looking to collect DNA. There's a shoe imprint where we believe the suspect is clearly identified as wearing Converse tennis shoes. Again, we'll replay that again so you can get another view of that. It's important to note his black t-shirt, his black pants, and there appears to be some white on the soles of those Converse tennis shoes. Those are all identifiable items that we're looking for. In the stills that are going to follow this, you're going to see a very distinctive t-shirt with an American flag and appears to have an eagle on it. There's also a baseball cap with a triangle on it and a pair of sunglasses. All distinctive, all things that we would ask the public to look for and try to identify if they know someone who has those items, who has been seen wearing those items. We're looking for all that information. Here you see the suspect after dropping off the building. He moved around across this grassy area, around the parking lot. We're going to pan to the right. After he crosses the street, this is where he moves over into the wooded area. This is the video evidence that we utilize to track his movements and to locate that firearm in that wooded area following the discovery of this evidence. Good. You want to go to the stills?
So then the FBI local law enforcement, they're working through some of these still pictures. Those have been well circulated on social media and on the internet now before it is turned back to the Utah mayor.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Mason. I want to thank Director Patel and his team. It's great to have them on the ground with us tonight. We've had several briefings, and he's had an opportunity to walk the crime scene. We appreciate our local law enforcement here. Again, we have Mike Smith, who is the county sheriff here. We have all of our local chiefs of police that are here as well, all working hand in hand with the state and with the FBI as we move forward with this investigation. Now, I'll just give you a little warning. We will not be taking any questions at this time. We're giving you the latest information we have, being as transparent with everything that we have. But I do want to share a couple things that I think are important. We cannot do our job without the public's help right now. The public has answered our call for action. So far, we've received more than 7,000 leads and tips. I would just note that the FBI hasn't received this many digital media tips from the public since the Boston Marathon bombing. This case also highlights the dedication of our law enforcement community. We have 20 federal, state, and local law enforcement partners that are working shoulder to shoulder to find the person who committed this horrific crime. With their support, we've completed nearly 200 interviews. As you're aware, as has already been reported, the FBI is offering a $100,000 reward for information leading to the identification and arrest of the person responsible for the murder of Charlie Kirk. We also continue to implore the public to support this investigation and come forward with any information. We are truly hopeful that this video and new photos will lead to even more tips. We are processing. We have an incredible team, a state and federal team working together to process those tips. We are going out in tandem to interview any potential person of interest or suspects. But we need, as much help as we can possibly get. Any videos or photos that you might have, the public?
So you're hearing there from the governor of Utah in Spencer Cox, walking the media, walking the public through the current status of the situation that continues, the manhunt that continues to unfold in Utah. And one of the things that I have found interesting, and I haven't really seen any coverage of this, and maybe it's the video's not clear enough, maybe I'm not understanding all of the elements, but they show the shooter jumping off the roof. It doesn't appear that he has a firearm with him. Now, he's got something in his left hand, but it looks like it's a bag. So it's possible maybe he put, but I can't imagine that he went through the effort and process of putting this rifle back into a gun case. Then the report is that in the wooded area next to the college is where they found the gun itself. Maybe I'm just not fully understanding exactly what's going on there, but I did find that interesting. It did not appear that he jumped off or threw the firearm off the roof. I'm not sure how it got to that wooded area, Maybe he had it with him, and it's just not clear from the video evidence. But obviously, law enforcement has recovered that to this point as the manhunt does continue. As you heard there from Governor Spencer Cox, more than 7,000 tips coming in right now. And I would suspect in the next 24 hours, while they might not have the individual in custody, with all of the publicity that it's getting, I would be shocked if they don't have at least the name of the individual. Sean Hannity reported on his Fox News program last night that in his sources, talking to a local law enforcement on the ground, they do have a name. But as again, this is just strictly what Hannity said last night on TV. It could be nonsense. But from what Hannity said, there is a name, but they are not sure whether that is the suspect's actual name or if that's some sort of alias that they have been given. So with all of the publicity, with this picture being plastered all over the internet, all over news broadcasts in the United States, I would imagine in the next 24 hours or so, maybe even a little bit later on today, that they don't come forward. The FBI, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino now on the ground in Utah, Governor Spencer Cox of Utah, if they don't have a name of this individual in the next 24 hours, that would to me probably be rather shocking with as much tips and as much evidence as has come in to this point in time. So the manhunt does continue this morning. Presumably, local officials will give an update a little bit later on today. We'll track that coverage throughout the weekend. And if need be, if we do get a big break in this case, one of the reasons to stay subscribed to the YouTube and Rumble channel here for the show is I can provide some of that breaking coverage. Obviously, being on the radio in Wilmington was a great pleasure, but it limited me, right? I could only do content between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. One of the benefits in branching out from that traditional media model is the ability to do some of these short videos and produce some of this content outside of a normal time slot. So if you are a podcast listener, you're somebody that listens to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, if you do have a YouTube or Rumble account, I'd still encourage you to go and subscribe to the Nick Craig Show so you can see some of those additional videos, some of those additional pieces of coverage as they are available on our various audio and video platform. So that manhunt does continue. That's unfortunately all the news that we've got on that this morning. And I just wanted to touch on one other thing. It's going to be a short show today. I've got to head on over to the Power Breakfast. But I wanted to touch on a lot of what I heard yesterday and some of the coverage and, you know, back and forth on social media and so on and so forth. There's, of course, the ratcheting up discussion over so-called political violence, right? Or what is being deemed here political violence. And you'll have folks predominantly on the left that say, well, you know, there's political violence on both sides. And that is, in fact, an accurate statement. There are deranged, evil, demented people on both sides of the political aisle that will commit heinous, atrocious acts. That is true. What I think is the big difference, when you saw those Democrat lawmakers get gunned down in Minnesota back a couple of months ago, and I'm going at this from memory and recollection, do you remember anybody posting on social media, people that are your friends with on Facebook, people in prominent right-wing circles, do you remember, and I'm asking you to dig deep on this, do you remember anybody cheering on those lawmakers getting murdered in Minnesota? The answer to that question is no, because it didn't happen. It didn't exist. Political violence, and really violence in general, anybody, whether it's Irina Zaruska or Charlie Kirk or the lawmakers in Minnesota, any amount of violence in our society is unjust and unneeded. But based on what I have seen over the last couple of days, based on some of the horrific commentary that I have seen on social media, it is hard to claim that the Democrat Party and those on the political left, it is hard to argue that it is not a completely different situation that exists on the right. You didn't see any conservatives, any Republicans cheering on lawmakers being killed in Minnesota. What you have seen over the last 2 days are groups of people cheering on the death of Charlie Kirk. And to me, folks, that is the big differentiating factor in all of this. When you say you stand against political violence, when you say that you don't condone the actions taken by this assailant, by this shooter who where the manhunt continues this morning, the question is, does everybody also agree with you? I mean, for example, here's a story over at the Post-Millennial this morning. A member of the Carolina Panthers communication team was fired over his comments on the Charlie Kirk assassination. So you've got this jackass, Charlie Rock, who I hope the rest of his professional career is permanently ruined. An employee of the Carolina Panthers posted, quote, "Why are y'all sad? Your man said it was worth it." Included a photo of Charlie Kirk and referenced a Wu-Tang song called Protect Your Neck. This is the kind of vitriolic, disgusting commentary from those on the political left. And so if you want to claim that political violence exists on both sides, which I will agree with, you at the exact same time have to be able to draw the distinction and draw the difference in what the reaction to that violence is. You didn't see people posting on social media applauding lawmakers in Minnesota getting gunned down because it didn't exist. And that really shows the true difference to me between the right and the left. When folks on the right say we condone political violence, we back it up. When folks on the right say we don't condone these kinds of actions, we don't support people using the barrel of a gun or a knife or any other sort of tool to inflict chaos on their political opponents, we back it up. You don't have our people cheering for people getting assassinated, people getting murdered that are politically involved. But you do, in fact, see that on the right. There is there's been a whole bunch of social media posts. Libs of TikTok has been doing a really good job promoting, and I say promoting, and not in a great way, but promoting some of this commentary, promoting teachers, college professors, even here in North Carolina, members of, here's the one I was looking for, a member of the Gaston County school system, posting, quote, "I can't believe people are actually mourning this douchebag." She's a teacher, Gaston County Schools, an EC teacher, teacher assistant at Gaston County Schools. This stuff doesn't happen on the right, folks. It just doesn't. And so, you know, a whole bunch of Democrats, a whole bunch of liberals are rushing to the scene to try and claim and stand up and say, oh, we don't support this, we don't support that. I believe some of them. But I am rather disturbed and disgusted by some of this online commentary that's taken place. I'm not going to give any more light to any of it. I don't feel the need, and I'm not going to use my show and my platform to promote it. But folks, if you can't draw this distinction, you're brainwashed. When political violence exists against folks on the left, when Democrats are murdered and taken out in cold blood, you don't have folks cheering it on the right. When you have political violence against Republicans, circa Donald Trump, July of last year, Charlie Kirk, Wednesday in Utah, you have people applauding this. You have teachers, folks that are in your children's classrooms, cheering on the assassination of Charlie Kirk. There is a clear divide. There is a clear difference between how these situations are handled, right versus left. And I'm sorry if you can't discern the difference there, but it absolutely exists. You won't find anybody commenting on the Minnesota shooter as an applauding and wishing that on. It just doesn't exist. I was hearing some commentary yesterday, and of course, a lot of this comes back to rhetoric. You know, let me be clear on this. When I was doing the morning show at 980, I was on the air throughout my entire time on the air. Joe Biden was in the Oval Office. I was incredibly critical of Joe Biden. I called him inept. I called him useless in his position. I talked about his mental ability and the struggles and the issues that we were dealing with as a nation because of his mental acuity. I was relentless on calling out Joe Biden. You know what I didn't say about the former president of the United States? I didn't call him an existential threat to our democracy. I didn't call him Hitler. I didn't associate him with the Nazi Party of Germany. I didn't dehumanize him to a point that individuals felt that they were justified to take action against him. And that's the real difference to me, at least from my vantage point, and how I see the media landscape as somebody that is square in the middle of it, has been on all different sides of the political landscape, traditional, new media, back and forth, a hybrid of both. There is a difference in being critical of somebody politically. There is a difference on calling out your political opposition and challenging them. And then there's also what you see predominantly on the left, which is the dehumanization of those on the right. Dehumanization of political conservative Republican figures on the right, whether it's Donald Trump or J.D. Vance, anybody in Trump's cabinet, folks like Charlie Kirk. I mean, go back and look at what was said about Rush Limbaugh. I mean, you go back 30 years and hear some of the commentary about that. That's the big difference. Politics is a nasty sport. It is a nasty game. If you are somebody that can easily have your feelings hurt, if you don't have thick skin, you don't need to be involved in the political game at all, because it's a nasty sport. And that's fine. It should be. We're fighting, in the case of the folks on the right, you know, we're fighting to protect and save the freedom and the abilities that we have in the United States. It's going to get a little heated. It's going to get a little nasty from time to time. You're going to say things. You're going to be very blunt with some of your reaction to things. All of that is fine and dandy. I'm not somebody that says, oh, well, now we need to be nice to every political figure. No, we're allowed to have debate. I mean, what did Charlie Kirk stand for more than anything else? Freedom of expression, freedom of debate, challenging ideas. I don't care that mainstream media outlets spend all day, every day, just completely trashing Trump and the Republicans and everybody associated with him. That's their business model. That's their audience. They have a right to do so. But if you want to be serious about lowering the political temperature, if you want to actually mean what you say when you stand up and you broadcast that we don't support political violence, we don't condone political violence, then you need to walk the walk as well. Folks on the political left have to tone down the rhetoric. That doesn't mean that you need to applaud Donald Trump. You can be as nasty to him as you want. You can be as critical of him and the things that he's doing as you want. I'm totally fine with that. That is your right as an American. That is your right as a news outlet. If you've got an audience, you have the ability and the right to do that. I'm not trying to censor it. But if you're serious about standing up against political violence, those on the left need to take a freaking look in the mirror and see the kind of commentary that they make. They need to understand that when you call somebody like Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk a racist, a bigot, a threat to democracy, an existential threat to the existence of the United States, a threat to the trans community, a threat to women, a threat to people of color, a threat to all of these different groups, that has an impact. When you say somebody is a threat to your very existence, that has an impact. While I didn't like Joe Biden and I was very critical of Joe Biden, I don't believe I ever went on the air and said, Joe Biden is a threat to my existence as an American. Never said it, because it's ridiculous and it wasn't true. Now, that doesn't mean that the vast majority of things that Joe Biden did, I would go on the air and broadcast day in and day out and say, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. I hate what he's doing. I didn't say it was a threat to my existence as an American. I didn't say that it was an existential threat to the future of our country. No, that's the left. That is squarely at the feet of those in the Democrat Party and those in the left-wing media. Those are where those comments exist. Nobody claimed that Joe Biden was a threat to democracy. Nobody claimed that with Joe Biden in the Oval Office, America would crumble and cease to exist. Was the coverage tough? Was there high levels of criticism against Joe Biden? Absolutely. Should there have been levels of criticism against Joe Biden? Absolutely. You can be critical of somebody. You can even have incredible disdain for what somebody believes and what they stand for without dehumanizing them. You can have those discussions. You can be critical without inciting political violence. You can claim that Donald Trump is doing a terrible job as president of the United States. You can claim that the things that he's doing, you adamantly disagree with. You can claim that he's stupid, he's an idiot. All of that is fine. All of that is well. It's media. It's politics. It's nasty. But for a decade, when you claim this guy is a Nazi, when you equate him to the likes of Adolf Hitler, when you claim that if you're a woman in America, Donald Trump is ripping your rights away to exist in our civil society, that's when you begin to cross the line. We've seen that line not only be crossed, but Democrats have run straight past it for the last decade. And now I have to listen to them come on their podcasts, go on their television news outlets and talk about how we don't condone political violence. We don't support the ratcheting up of political pressure. I said it yesterday and I'll say it again this morning. That's bullshit. They do. Because the words that they use, the way that they describe Donald Trump, Charlie Kirk, everybody else on the right, those words have an impact. You can't equate somebody to the one of the worst human beings that has ever existed in Adolf Hitler and then go, oh, but we don't condone political violence. Well, what do you mean? You wouldn't condone violence against the leader of the Nazi party? I would. I assume pretty much everybody in the world would. You would condone getting rid of somebody like Adolf Hitler, who committed mass atrocities, right? Everybody would agree with that. So when then you equate Trump and Charlie Kirk and everybody else on the right to that same person, do you not see the parallel? Do you not see how people believe that they are empowered to take actions into their own hands? I'm not saying this is everybody on the left, because it's not. And I'm not a big fan of painting with broad brushes. But if I'm going to actually believe that some of these folks, you know, Pod Save America, MSNBC, CNN, if I'm going to actually believe the words that are coming out of their mouth, they're going to have to back it up with action. Now, this is still a very dynamic, fresh situation. We don't know kind of how all of this is going to play out. But if I'm ever going to believe them, they're going to have to back it up. They should, for example, MSNBC, they should continue to be highly critical of Donald Trump. They are on the left side of the political aisle. They disagree with what Trump is doing. They should continue to be critical of Trump. You can be critical of somebody without dehumanizing them. You can be critical of somebody without claiming that the country in which you live, the state in which you live, the freedom in which you live is set to disappear due to that person being in Oval Office. You do not have to compare him to an authoritarian dictator and the worst people that have ever existed in human history. You can be critical of somebody without using those superlatives. And so there is some major, major reflection that needs to take place on the left side of the political aisle and in media apparatuses across the country. These constant phrases, these constant equations to Trump and Kirk and everybody on the right with all of these awful, terrible people that have existed in human history, it plays and weighs on the psyche of mentally ill, mentally deranged individuals. And the unfortunate reality is this is what happens when you demonize. This is what happens when you dehumanize people for the better part of a decade. Individuals feel that they are justified in their actions. Look at Steve Scalise, practically getting shot and killed on a baseball field by a rampant Bernie Sanders supporter. You don't think that plays on the psyche of individuals? Critical? Sure. Standing up strong against things you adamantly disagree with? Absolutely. You can do it in a tasteful and tactful way that doesn't cause people to believe that they are justified to assassinate their political opposition. You can do it in a way in which you are not condoning people committing political acts of violence. And the media needs to take a long, hard self-reflection as to the events that happened in Utah on Wednesday. The saying that you don't support it is one thing, but the actions are completely different. So again, the manhunt continues. We'll continue to track that coverage throughout the weekend. If there is any breaking news to that, don't forget to follow me over on social media at Nicholas M. Craig on X, The Nick Craig Show on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and all of your other podcast platforms as well. I'm headed over to the Wilmington Power Breakfast this morning. Going to hear from some city council candidates. We'll do a full run through an analysis of that coming up early next week. I do want to thank our great advertisers that do make the show possible, including the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the great folks over at the law group in Wilmington. For now, more than 22 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. 910-251-6088. Give them a call or visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. That's going to do it for a shorter Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget to join us live weekday mornings, normally 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. And of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great, safe weekend. And of course, keep Charlie Kirk and his family in your prayers this morning. We're back Monday right here for the Nick Craig Show.